welcome to worship on this week, beginning the 23rd of August. During the last week, the moderator of the General Assembly invited us all to participate in a week of prayer for church and community. And some of you may have done that, either privately in your own prayers or by looking at the reflections in the mornings online or the Zoom prayer meetings in the evenings. Thank you to all of you as a church family and community for continuing to be faithful in prayer during these days. Thank you for the way that you continue to care for one another. It's maybe at a social distance, but you're still able to do that. Thank you to our elders who have been caring for their districts. I'm very grateful to the team who've been working with me to make online worship happen. Thank you to Mike, to Alec, and to Alan. I'd also like to mention our staff. Our staff were on furlough, but they're now back to work under the flexible furloughing scheme. So thank you to Paul and Susan and Vanessa for all that they are doing. Last week, you would have received a letter if you're a church member or a regular attender. If you didn't receive the letter, there is a copy of it on the church website that you can have a look at. The main focus of that letter was to talk about the reopening of our church building for worship. That's going to happen for the first time on Sunday, the 13th of September at 10:30. The letter explains how you can reserve a place because we are limited in the number of places that we have. That involves phoning the church office to speak to Vanessa or emailing her to do so. It also explains that the building will be open on the morning of the first Wednesday in September and then the second Wednesday in September in the evening and in the evening thereafter on Wednesdays. And that's for private prayer. But again, you will need to book a place by either telephoning Vanessa or by emailing her. We have made a little video film and you will be able to see that online soon, either on the church Facebook page or the web page. It shows you a little bit about the inside of the church, how it looks now. There's also a short interview with Vanessa and myself, just explaining some of the different aspects of the changes that we're having to cope with at this strange time. This online format of worship will continue to be the main way that we gather together. But we trust that God will lead us forward as we continue to move through this time of easing of lockdown. Please don't hesitate to contact your elder or to phone me if you would like to speak about any of these issues. I finish work this week for a couple of weeks and I'm very grateful to Mrs. Gillian Richmond. Gillian is training for the Ministry of Word and Sacrament at this time and Gillian will be leading our worship on the 30th of August and the 6th of September. So thank you in advance to Gillian. We come together to worship God. I will shout of your greatness, my God and my King. We will praise you forever and ever. Every day I will give thanks. We will praise you forever and ever. Your greatness is beyond our understanding. We will praise you forever and ever. We will meditate on your mighty acts. We will praise you forever and ever.
this morning is Psalm 146. Listen for God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to tell you about a day back in February, back when I think probably none of us really knew how what was going on in Wuhan would soon affect us all. It was dark, it was cold, it was 6 a.m. and I was at Fiumicino Airport just outside Rome. And I was approaching Terminal 3. I was making for a statue just inside Terminal 3. If you've been there, you'll know it's a replica of Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man. And that is our usual meeting point for me and my colleagues when we go to Fiumicino on these early morning adventures. And sure enough, my colleagues were there along with friends from the Comunità di Sant'Egidio, all waiting for Alessandra, the policewoman who normally accompanies us through security and into a bit of the airport that the public isn't normally given access to. And that morning we went through as usual. We went into the waiting area, we unloaded our huge suitcases of snacks, we set up a coffee station, blew up balloons, did everything that we could to make this rather stark area as comfortable as possible for the people that we were expecting. People that we knew would be tired and hungry and more than just a little bit nervous. And I'll come back to that shortly. But before I do, I want us to think about Psalm 146, the reading that we heard earlier. On the face of it, it's a pretty straightforward psalm. Praise the Lord, it starts. It's a big clue as to what it's going to be about. It's an invitation and a command. Praise the Lord. And normally, with a psalm like that, after that kind of exhortation, you get a pen portrait of God's attributes, of the things that should delight and inspire us. And this psalm doesn't lack that. But there's something extra here. This psalmist, first of all, inserts a warning. Do not put your trust in princes, he says. Do not put your trust in humans who cannot save. And by doing that, the writer, at a stroke, on the one hand, is telling us about the limitations of humanity. And on the other, is telling us about how great God is. We know that human beings do save lives. And if that's the case, the kind of salvation that this psalmist is referring to must be souls. Put bluntly, God is in a different league from humans, from even the most powerful leaders. And what a joy it is then to go on to read in the psalm about this God, about all the things that we should praise him for. He's a creator, a presence constant to the end of time, faithful, a guardian who meets the needs of those who are without. Without rights, without nourishment, without sight, without homes, without families, without hope. All well and good, you might say, but how is that really relevant to me? Well, tucked away in verse 8, in amongst all these attributes, is the following. God loves the righteous. Or to use the Italian, l'Eterno ama i giusti. The way in which we can delight this amazing God of strength and power and care is by attempting to be righteous. It's our call to action. Well, righteous isn't really a word that I use very often. And in fact, in English, it often has a negative connotation. We hear it mostly in conjunction with self. But self-righteous is something quite different from righteous. The word is probably better rendered in Italian, which is why I mentioned it, giusti. It's synonymous with good, fair, just. And I think that's probably something that we can all get our heads round. We all have an idea of what it means to be good or fair or just. And for those of us who describe ourselves as Christian, that God should love our attempts to be like this shouldn't come as news. We're all familiar with the idea that we should be trying to mirror the character of God in the way that we live our lives. And if we're not really sure what that means, just reread the psalm, in particular verses 7 to 9. Uphold the cause of the oppressed, give food to the hungry, set prisoners free, give sight to the blind, lift up those who are bowed down, watch over the foreigner, sustain the fatherless and the widow, frustrate the ways of the wicked. It's really clear. And I think that's just as well, because God's asking us to be his hands and feet. It's down to us to execute his work. And here's the blueprint. And I like this psalm because this is the inspiration for the Mediterranean Hope Project, to which I'm seconded by the Church of Scotland. This project, which supports migrants in so many different ways, belongs to the Federation of Protestant Churches in Italy. And at its heart is this knowledge that God welcomes the stranger, or to use the words in the psalm, watches over the foreigner. This idea underpins all of the work that Mediterranean Hope does. So back to Fiumicino on that cold morning in February, when the plane we were expecting finally landed at about 7 a.m, we sprang into action, forming the usual guard of honour leading from the doors of the concourse into the waiting area. And for the next 10 minutes, we smiled, we clapped, we welcomed. And those who came through the doors did their best to respond, some trying in Italian, mostly in Arabic, but the thing that really spoke to us was their eyes. Eyes that were full of gratitude, relief, sometimes surprise, always hope. These were people in our Humanitarian Corridors programme, identified from amongst thousands of needy people living in Lebanese refugee camps. After months of assessment, preparation, screening and consular liaison, they were finally arriving in Italy on a scheduled flight with a humanitarian visa. And here they will be supported for at least 18 months whilst they make their formal applications for international protection and for residence, and whilst they start that slow route into integration into Italian society. And the thing that I remember about that day in particular is the young man that I stood chatting to as we were waiting for luggage to come off the carousel. He'd come on his own, he was going to be living in Rome. And he said to me, "You know, it was really hard for me to decide what to bring. I had to throw away so many things that I loved. And when his luggage did arrive, I saw that everything in the world that he had was contained in two suitcases and a rucksack. I asked him how long it had been that he'd waited to come, and he told me 7 years. He said, it's 8 years since my house in Damascus was blown up and we had to flee to Lebanon. There just seemed to be no way out. I knew some people who used people smugglers to come to Europe, and I was desperate too, but I just didn't want to do that. So I prayed. I prayed every day to God that somehow I would find a different route home. And now it's today. Now, finally, I'm here. Projects like Mediterranean Hope exist to be an answer to prayer, and it is a real privilege to be involved in that work. But as this psalm reminds us, we're all here to be God's hands and feet. And in our own way, all of us can help to save the lives of those we encounter in everyday life, through welcome, through small acts of kindness, and even lobbying for change to improve the lot of people who are most in need. We are not in the same league as God, but it does honour him when we try to do his work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul.